Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
So one of the most important skills that you can have if you want to grow your online business is to be able to sell. Not to state the obvious, but being able to sell in both the written form, so writing copy, but also in speaking. And when I say speaking, that can mean a number of different things. That could mean you're doing a podcast like this one. Maybe you're doing live video. Maybe you're doing Instagram stories, or you're actually speaking from stage. Maybe you're doing webinars, stuff like that. But even though being able to sell in your presentations or videos is a critical skill to have, the thought of speaking in most formats makes most people want to climb under a rock and hide. I know for me, that's how I used to feel. And it's a skill that I've worked really hard at and practiced a ton over the years. And one guy that's been a huge help to me is with all of this is my buddy and brilliant coach, Colin Boyd. And Colin's a coach. He's an international speaker. He's a business mentor. And he's an authority on influence, persuasion, and communication. And so I've invited him to come on the podcast to talk to you today about how to use speaking to grow and scale your business. Whatever the stage is for you, and I'm going to put air quotes around stage because that could be actually speaking on stage. That could be if you're doing webinars, you're doing live video, etc. Learning how to sell through your presentations is a skill that I want to help you with. And that's what today's episode's all about. Let's jump into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mohl ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what is up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. So good to have you here. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. I am your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to help you grow and scale your business so that you can reach and help more people, amplify your impact. And when you do all that, you and your audience get to have better lives, because that's what this is all about, right? So if you haven't already, my friends, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast here, as I have new episodes every Wednesday, just like this one, as well as what I call quick tip episodes here on the podcast every Friday. And many of the episodes have time sensitive, helpful information in them. And I do not want you to miss a beat. So by subscribing, you will ensure that you're getting the very latest and not missing a beat when it comes to the podcast here. So hit that subscribe button on whatever platform that you're listening to. So whatever your personal stage is, whether you are doing webinars, whether you are speaking on stage, whether you're doing live video, whether you are doing sales presentations or Instagram stories, whatever it is, selling through the spoken word is a critical skill that you've got to have if you want to grow your business. And this is a skill that takes a lot of practice, frankly. And I remember when I first started in my online business, and you're going to hear a story today about my very first speaking gig at Blog World in Las Vegas. I think this was like 5 or 6 years ago. Holy cow. I'm going to save that for you. You're going to hear about it today as I talk to my buddy, Colin Boyd. Also, when it comes to speaking, man, when I did my first webinar in January of 2014, holy cow, I was so nervous. And now it doesn't bother me at all because I've done so many webinars. I love doing them. I just love presenting. It's so funny because I have a harder time getting in front of my phone to do a friggin' Instagram story than getting on stage and speaking to a couple thousand people. I love that. But put me in front of the phone to do an Instagram story, I freak all out. I don't know. I'm getting better. But anyway, this is a skill that you've got to learn. And so because of that, I've invited my buddy Colin Boyd onto the show, as I talked about at the top of the episode. So today, you're going to learn from Colin the 6 levels of structuring your speaking so that you can better connect with your audience and drive them to take whatever action it is that you want them to take. We're going to talk about what selling actually is when it comes to presenting something to your audience. Colin's going to share how to get people nodding their heads in agreement, or their head in agreement, to what you're saying. Whatever it is that you're saying, you want them nodding in agreement. We're going to talk about why addressing the yeah buts of your audience is critical to selling more, and exactly, Colin's going to share how to do that. We're going to talk about mistakes that people are making with their webinars today and how to improve your webinars if you're doing webinars so people stay on longer and you can make more sales. Really, really cool stuff today with Colin. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Colin Boyd. Colin, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Yeah, it's so good to be here, Rick.
I am psyched. I just saw you a couple of days ago. I'm psyched to have you on the show. Finally. Have we been talking about this for a while to have you on the podcast? And finally, it's like, yes, let's get it on the calendar, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been buddies for a couple of years now. And so we've kind of been doing the journey together. So I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, man, because this is something that I don't think we've actually ever talked about here on the show. So I'm really, really excited to bring this different angle of, you know, growing and scaling your business through speaking and how to use speaking and kind of unpacking all that and peeling away the layers of, because when most people think about speaking or getting up on stage, and I know that we're going to talk about, this does not necessarily mean just getting up on stage. This could be something Correct. As simple as getting in front of the camera and doing a live or a webinar or what have you. You know, how to become a better speaker, and we'll define what that means to grow and scale your business. So I'm excited to jump into this, man. Before we do, though, introduce yourself.
AOPT. Yeah, so my name's Colin. Colin Boyd. I am an Aussie. We moved to, as of this recording, Newport Beach, California, about probably a year and a half ago. And so I've been a professional speaker on the speaking circuit for over 10 years. And essentially about 4 years ago, transitioned to running an online, more digital business. And so a lot of how we run our business is, I call it the blended model. And the blended model is essentially, it's a blend of on-stage delivery stuff, live workshops, you know, that sort of stuff. And then combined with digital launches, you know, evergreen funnels, webinars, all that sort of stuff. And I love that what you said at the start, Rick, because for me, a stage, and I think it's really helpful to just like define relevancy in terms of a stage. A stage for me is any leveraged communication platform. Now, specifically, I'm not talking about written. It's a verbal leverage communication platform. So there's a hierarchy. Hierarchy is in like live stage. For me, that's the mecca. Like the conversion rates that you can get on a live stage just can blow your mind. And then the next level down is like a live webinar. Next level down is like a video. There's like levels in terms of the stages and the different types of stages. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. But that's been my journey. And you know, I think I met you as a part of a mastermind that we were involved in about 3 years ago. And so it's been cool kind of doing this journey, and now being in the US, it's just an amazing opportunity.
Why'd you guys make that move? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, for us, Sarah and I, we've been married for 13 years yesterday, which is cool.
Congrats, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks, man. So we had always felt on our heart that we wanted to do something significant with our lives. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners feel that way. It's like you've got a message, you want to deliver something, you might have expertise in an area, but really what it's about is about how do you help people and make an impact. And we were obviously based in Australia. We had an amazing life. Like if anyone's ever gone to Australia, it's flipping unbelievable. Like it is such a good place to live. The quality of life is insane, but the scalability just isn't there. And but so,
dude, there's snakes down. There's huge snakes down there, though. Huge snakes and great coffee. So things that are really good and things that are really bad in my book.
It's so true. When I come over here, because we kind of see it from a different perspective here, you watch one of those like 10 most deadliest creatures shows and like 7 of the 10 are Australian.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Exactly. I don't ever, this is terrible, but I really have no interest in going to Australia, even though I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah, dude, it's a long way and it's an amazing place. And the opportunity in the US for us is just incredible. And so for us, it was like a mission, a calling thing. And, you know, I genuinely feel like I want to be like a heavyweight, a whale in this industry. And for us to do that, I feel like positioning yourself around the highest level people in the world is key to that. And hence, that's why, you know, I'm friends with you. That's why I joined the mastermind. I want to be positioned with other whales because, you know, that's essentially the space I want to live in. And so proximity makes such a big difference. And so just living in the US, American people are aware of us. They buy our products because it's got US dollar on the actual checkout instead of Australian dollar. Like who wants to buy an Australian dollar product, even though it's like one third cheaper.
Yeah.
But there's something about the proximity of it. And so for us, it was a calling thing. It was like, we can't do what we want to do in Australia.
Yeah. It's such, guys, for everybody listening right now, what Colin's saying here, you know, the lesson that you can take away from this, I think, is that, you know, this does not mean moving from that. You have to move from a different country to the US. This could be something as simple as, you know what, you're at home behind your laptop, getting out and getting part of groups or a mastermind or group coaching, or just going to the coffee shop and getting around people that inspire you and raise your whole game to the next level. You know, thank you for sharing that, Colin, because it's such a great lesson. Again, doesn't mean you have to, you know, move countries, but when you surround yourself, and it's the whole cliche, right? When you surround yourself with other people who are doing bigger and better things and where you want to get to, your whole game is going to get elevated. So that's
what it's the fastest way to grow. Like hands down, as much as like you work on yourself, you read books, all that sort of stuff, you put yourself in circles where people are functioning on a level that is beyond you and you cannot not change.
Yeah.
And when you change internally, your environment must change with you.
Yeah.
And so it's the fastest way to grow.
Isn't it interesting? And I don't know if everybody picked up on what Colin just said, but when you change internally, your external has to change as a result. Most people think it's the other way around. We're getting a little woo-woo right now, that the external, once the external changes, then you change internally. But it's completely the other way around to what Colin just said. Once your internal changes, then the exterior, what's going on around you will change as a result. So,
yeah. And like, if you want to know what you believe and what your standards are, look at the results you have in your life. Look at the quality of house you have. Look at the quality of the relationship you have. Look at how much money you make. That is an exact reflection of your beliefs about what's possible for you.
Yeah.
And this is like such a confronting thing, but for me, it's the most incredibly releasing thing I could ever have in my life, because then I make friends with my reality and I go, this is the level I'm functioning at. And it's not like I'm, you know, heaving crap on myself and blaming myself for anything. It's simply going, wow, this is the level of commitment I'm at. So what does the next level look like? And so then I start asking myself, what are the beliefs that I have to believe about myself to go to that next level, to earn more income, to be around bigger people, that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, dude, exactly what you said, man. Your internal world drives your external.
We could spend the whole episode talking about this. I love it. So I do want to get into the speaking. We'll call it the speaking stuff. And, you know, I think there's so many different things to this. And, you know, for everybody listening, Colin is the guy that I go to when, you know, I'm looking at putting on, you know, one of my live events. So, you know, formerly, here's a little hint for everybody. Formerly, my live event's been called FBA Live. We're actually going to be changing that for the next event this year, later this year. More details to come. But, you know, there is a lot that goes into putting an event, a live event on. And, you know, everything for obviously from the logistics, but in addition to that, and I think what's more, logistics obviously are really super important and the environment and stuff like that, but really putting on a good event from a flow standpoint and a content standpoint and where people can get the most out of it and feel the best at the event. Well, Colin is the guy that I go to for help with that sort of thing. And so not only is Colin brilliant at, you know, like what we're talking about here is from a speaking to grow your business, but also having a framework from which to work within when you're doing a live event, when you're speaking on stage, when you're doing a live video, when you're doing a webinar, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So where do we start with all this? Where do we start with, you know, leveraging speaking to grow and scale your business?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of looking at as, for me, speaking is one vehicle to grow your business. Obviously, running ads, Facebook ads, all that sort of stuff, that's another vehicle to grow your business. So for me, it's like, I'm just looking at it as what is, you know, what's another arm, another vehicle that I can use to grow my business? And for me, my experience has been being with an audience, and you know, I'm not sure whether you know you're being experienced with this, Rick, is on a live webinar or on a in a live audience or even a live conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. The conversion rates you're going to get in a live experience are so much higher than an email, like a random email that you send to your list, or yeah, you know, some other kind of action. And it's not to say that one's better than the other, but it's like, my experience has been when I'm speaking to an audience, and you can, I mean, you can even use this from an ad perspective. When you're running like a video ad or something, if and you're doing video views, if you can communicate a message effectively to the audience in a way that they need to hear it, then the conversion rates are going to go up. And so for me, it's this whole premise of how do we conversationally and from a communication perspective communicate our ideas so that the audience not only gets it, but they're willing to take inspired action. And so, you know, you can utilize this format of communication in any, you know, platform. But for me, it's, I mainly speak to that verbal and on stage space. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Why is that so much more powerful for people? So I'm going to play devil's advocate. Somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, well, Colin, you just said, as long as I get the messaging right and the positioning right, I'm going to be able to sell more of my course, let's just say. Well, yeah, I can do that in the email too. They're probably thinking, why is it so much more powerful from a speaking perspective and a live perspective?
Well, I think there's more sensory experiences that happens.
Yep.
So if you look at how people process information, so the study of neurolinguistic programming, they essentially say that we create our world through our senses, which is visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory and gustatory, which is taste and smell. And so when you're speaking, they're seeing you and how you move. They are hearing you auditory, and they're also feeling you. So the energy that you're projecting, even over a video, but the energy that you're projecting, especially, let's say, you know, a live format, whether it be a live webinar or a live stage, they're feeling you. And they, because one of the things that people buy, they buy feelings. They actually buy certainty because they've got enough uncertainty in that particular problem themselves. So what they're actually buying is the feeling that you're able to portray to them. And part of that is how you look, how you communicate your message, and even the energy that you're bringing across in that video or in that speaking engagement.
Mm. What about the person who's like, I don't want to get in front of the camera or on stage or on a webinar. They want to hide. There's so many people who are, they're just not comfortable with that. So, and I'd love to approach this from a, how does one get more comfortable? And again, I don't mean like jumping up on stage, but just get more comfortable presenting like that. But there's also what you're saying here is how you are positioning and speaking to whatever it is that you want to be doing. So how does one get better at that as well. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the, like, how do I get better as a speed? Yeah. Comfort level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we're all on a journey. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was 13 years old. I was actually in religious class. I went to an all boys private Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So I had my little cub hat on, my high socks on, sitting on my little wooden desk. And we're all taking turns reading from a passage from the Bible. And because we were in religious class, and it came to me and I started reading, and honestly, like, I started to stutter and mix up my words. And then I felt like my whole world just shrunk inside. And I remember feeling like, oh man, I can't read. Like, I'm an idiot. Mm. And I remember that experience was quite a highly emotionally visceral experience for me. And from that experience, I created a meaning that I was not very good at speaking to a group of people. And I was especially not good at reading in public. And so for me, I had this experience, and every single time, even when I went to college, went to university, and then even when I was, you know, in youth group at church and all that sort of stuff, every time I got up to speak, it was like I had this experience of being a 13-year-old and my whole world shrinking inside of me. And so it wasn't until I was about 23 years old that I really realized that I'd had this viscerally emotional experience that had kind of branded my neurology of associating speaking to an audience with being incredibly fearful and afraid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I'm just kind of processing that you, so you realize this later on in life.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Correct. And this was before I had any of the tools and stuff that we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had no awareness around why I was having that emotionally intense and fearful experience whenever I got up in front of an audience and spoke at school or at church or at college, or, you know, this was even before I was in the workforce. And what I realized was that, and, you know, kind of what I help people with is getting their focus off themselves. And so when you said to me, you know, what about the person who's afraid to get on camera or afraid to get in front of an audience? Mm-hmm. The reason why we're afraid is because there's actually six levels that I teach people in terms of their journey all the way to mastery of communicating persuasively and powerfully on any stage. And the bottom level, the absolute base level, is when your focus is on yourself. And when your focus is on yourself, you're asking yourself questions like, what will people think of me? Will they like me? Will I look like an idiot? Will I mess up my words? You know, will I look credible enough? Will I get asked a question I can't answer? So I've asked myself those questions so many times coming into presentations. But now, because I have conscious awareness of it, when I come into a big presentation or a webinar or anything like that, I consciously ask myself questions that get myself to focus not on myself, but on the purpose of the presentation and on the audience itself.
Mm.
As soon as you do that, you start feeling better, because your focus creates your feelings. And so when you focus on something, you feel something and it expands. Now, how you change your focus is you ask a different question, because questions guide focus. So if you ask a question like, you know, what am I grateful for in this presentation? How can I truly serve this audience in a way that will help them to move forward? When I ask that question, it brings up a different feeling, a different focus. And when I have a different focus, I feel differently. And when I feel differently, I communicate more confidently and more clearly.
Boom. How many levels are there to that? I'm just processing that right now. I mean, that's amazing. Because I'm just thinking about you and I just spoke on a panel at the Kajabi conference.
Yes.
And there were a couple of people in our panel who don't speak a whole lot. And then others who do speak quite a bit and still get that, you know, this sort of nervous feeling. How many levels are there to it? Now you get the first level you just said is like, I'm thinking about me. I'm like, what are people going to think? What if I mess up? What if I stutter? Whatever it is, like, number one, who cares? But how many levels are there to it?
Okay. So I can quickly just share with you the headlines of the six levels of the journey if you want.
Yeah, sure.
And how that works. And so I just really want to also clarify there, that Kajabi panel that we were just on like 2 days ago,
yeah,
I was really nervous coming into it. And so sometimes people think, oh, Colin, you're always really confident on a stage. Like, I was really nervous and I had moments leading up to it. But the reason why I was feeling really nervous is because my brain, because it's a human brain, and we all have human brains, it slips back into survival mode. Survival mode wants to protect ourselves. Yeah. And so my brain naturally goes back to, you know, don't look like an idiot. Don't say something wrong. Are you prepared enough? All that sort of stuff. It's trying to protect me. It's trying to keep me safe. And then what I found myself is I was consciously, and I was literally doing this in my mind. I know I wasn't saying it out loud because it might be weird when I was at the Kajabi conference, but I'm consciously in my mind going, thinking about the audience member, like one audience member, and thinking, imagine if I could really just help one person in this audience. Like, imagine if I could encourage one person to step out and live a bigger life in their business. And when I had my focus on that, I felt very different. I felt more empowered for the panel. Does that make sense?
100%. Because I feel like that right there alone, if somebody just thought about that when they're getting in front of their phone to, you know, to speak to do a live, or, you know, a Facebook live or Instagram live or Instagram story, or doing a webinar, or doing, you know, an actual, a live, you know, or a, getting up on stage, that right there can shift the whole thing.
Completely.
We were in front of us. I think the conference in total had like 800 to 850 people. We were there on Sunday afternoon. So that was the third day. A lot of people had started to leave. So I don't know, maybe 600 people. Something like that. So yeah. It was a good size audience, but yet, and I remember there was one person there who she stood up and was like, this is for Colin. What you just said, something that like is exactly what I need to shift my entire business. I remember her saying that. And so I think that's such a powerful lesson when we can shift that. And instead of thinking about, holy cow, I'm speaking to all these people, how can I help just one person here?
And it's just one.
Yeah, just one. And you know we can do that, right? When we, like, again, this could be something as simple as, quote unquote simple, as, because it's easier for me to get up on stage in front of 600 people than it is to do an Instagram story. But, you know, thinking about like, I'm just here to help one person. And what, like, however I'm going to help them right now, I'm thinking about that one person. And it sort of takes the pressure off.
Exactly. So to go back to your question of the journey, and this is really the journey towards being a masterful communicator. And to be honest, I think anyone in the expert industry, this is something that if you spend any time learning, it's a good investment of time and resource if you decide to. And so, because you're essentially communicating ideas continually. I mean, that's what people are buying. They're buying an idea. And so the journey is this, is the bottom level is you focus on yourself. So that's the lowest level, the lowest common denominator. The second level is what I call the intuition level. The intuition level, and I've got to clarify this, it's untrained intuition. So this is where people, like, they get up and they communicate ideas. Maybe they do a presentation, they do a webinar, but they haven't had any training in how to actually do that thing. And so they're actually trusting their untrained intuition. An example would be like the classic 21st speech or best man speech. And they're like, I'm going to have a few cups of courage and get up there and just whatever comes out, comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that's good, kind of, but you're going to get inconsistent results. You're going to be confused and you're going to have indecision in your audience long term. And so that level is like, you get over yourself a little bit, but you're not trained in actually what works. That's the second level. The third level is where you understand structure. And structure is where you understand how to structure an idea, how an idea is created, like the anatomy of an idea, how to structure a presentation that takes people on a journey to an outcome. Like, it's all of the clarity side of things. It's like clarifying how to take people through a webinar presentation, how to take people through a presentation or speech, or even the conversation we had around your workshop. You know, like, what's the general structure and the flow of how this is going to be all come together? That makes you credible as a communicator. So people will go, this is making sense. Like, the way this person's delivering these ideas are making sense to me logically, because that's the logical side of things. It's the clarity level. The fourth level is the craft level, and that's stagecraft. So that's all the things of, you know, using your tone, using your body, using the stage properly, telling stories. It's the art of it all. And so that level is where you get engagement. That's where your audience are going to lean in. They're going to laugh. They're going to be thinking about the questions you want them to be thinking about. It's that real engagement level. At that level, you will feel confidence, because you'll feel like, I know what I want to deliver and I even know how to deliver it. And so that's the fourth level. The fifth level, the focus is on the audience. And the audience is where you realize that the presentation you're about to deliver has literally nothing to do with you. Even if it's you're telling your story actually has nothing to do with you. Because whenever you tell a story, it's actually about the audience, not you. And so I don't know about you, Rick, but I don't know whether this happened or not. But when I was telling that story of me as a 13-year-old little boy, and that visceral experience, were you in your mind kind of thinking about different experiences that you have had where it might have been a negative
100%.
Experience?
Yeah. Because I went to Catholic grade school. I wasn't an all boys, but I went to Catholic grade school, second through eighth grade in Hampton, New Hampshire, where I grew up. And so it took me right back there when you were talking about that. And I was like, you know, I didn't have the exact same experience, but there were similar things that happened. And I was like going back to those situations.
Yeah. So when you tell your story, people don't listen to your story. They listen to their own story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are starting to make some literal connections, but the real connection that occurs, and this is what you probably were really searching for, is the feeling connection. It's like the meaning and the feeling connection. And that's why when people say, oh, you know, people don't really relate to my story. They do, because they relate on an emotional challenge level or a struggle level. And so it's not about connecting all the literal content. It's about the emotional content of it. Mm. And so when I'm, and so we come back to that fifth level, the fifth level is the audience. And I think any masterful communicator knows that their ad, their presentation, it doesn't matter what you do, it's got nothing to do with you. It's completely about the audience. And we use a certain system. And basically, it looks at what are the what is the pain and the pleasure of the audience and what is the internal and external driving forces. I call it the audience psychology map. And it's like every single presentation I do, I sit down and I write out those four things and then I'm crafting my presentation to hit on those hot buttons. And so that's the fifth level. And the sixth level is about purpose. And that's when you realize that your presentation is even bigger than your audience. It's about a sense of purpose in your life. It's like, what are you called to do? What you know, what is the purpose, the feeling, the contribution that you want to make? And so I look at some of the greatest speeches ever delivered, like Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. You can feel the intensity of purpose in that speech. And that speech has nothing really to do with his dream, even though he says, I have a dream. It's about this tapping into a higher sense of purpose and contribution in the world. Mm. Does that make sense?
100%. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking, like, I'm fascinated by speeches that are just, I feel like are really good speeches. I remember taking a course in back in college about it and like just breaking down different speeches and stuff like that. And they say speeches, like it could be something as simple as like when we were in the green room at the Kajabi Summit, they were playing a Jim Rohn clip.
Yeah.
And it was just, you were like, oh man, this is just so good, you know? And it wasn't like a 30 minute thing. It was just a few minutes, but just there's so much power within that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so that's kind of the journey that people have to go on, is moving from their focus on themselves to kind of trusting themselves. And then they start to get clarity around how to do it. Then they learn the craft of communication. And then they realize that all of that has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with their audience. And then ultimately, if they can, learning to tap into the purpose of it all.
And I think the key thing here is, and I know you're going to agree with this, is that this does not happen overnight, right? This is not be like, you know, like you don't go from like level one to mastering level six and being like, all right, cool. I've mastered these things. Let's do this. You know, this is a journey, as you're saying.
It's a journey. And what's kind of unique about, kind of helpful to know about this model that we went through is at the top levels, purpose, you actually don't need communication skill to tap into that. It's just that most people are focused on themselves when they come into the presentation. So the top two levels, audience and purpose, are actually a decision level. And so you can actually decide that today. It's the skill level and like the craft level and the clarity of message level. That's kind of the skill level. But a lot of people, you know, can literally decide today and go, you know what, I'm going to make my presentation not about me and about my audience.
Mm. I love that. I mean, because my next question was like, what's something tangible? What are some tangible things that people can go do right now in order to become a better speaker, a better presenter, so that they are, I mean, we've just gone through the six levels. Yep. Now that we understand those, are there tangible things that people can do right now? Let's just say that most people who are listening are not in those, you know, maybe five and six level. They're in the lower, you know, few of the, including myself right there. What are some tangible things that people can do to improve their connection with their audience so that they're able to sell more and grow their business?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, like I said, selling is a lot of the time the transfer of a belief and the transfer of a feeling. And so at the highest level, the reason why the highest level sells so well when you communicate from purpose is because you're communicating out of conviction. And when I teach people to speak to sell, and for me, my belief is that all speaking is selling. And so whether you're selling a product, which is, I call it a sharp sell. So a sharp sell is when I'm actually making an offer. Maybe you're running a workshop or you're doing a webinar and you are literally going, hey, I want credit cards. I want clients at the end of this presentation. That's a sharp sell. Or you're doing a soft sell, which is you're asking for client details. So it's more just details. And then there's the no sell, which is you're not even asking for an opt-in or details or anything at all. It's like you're just selling an idea. You're just teaching an idea. And so one thing is like working out what outcome you want. And so do you want clients? Do you want claps? And so a lot of the time, people go into presentations and they don't realize it, but they're designing their presentation to get claps, which is fine. But if you want clients, it's got to be designed differently and you have to actually make an offer at the end of it. So I'm trying to think like something really practical. I know for me, every single time I go into a presentation, I'm asking myself this. I'm going, what are the pain points? What are the pleasure points? What are the internal and external pain and pleasure points for the audience right now? And so I think about the vehicle that I'm selling. And so for me, you know, I sell teaching people to speak on a stage or webinar in a way that sells. And so I'm thinking about what is the internal pain that they're experiencing? Well, they're probably feeling a lack of confidence. They're feeling a lack of clarity internally. They're frustrated with their current results, and maybe they're feeling fear. And then I go externally and I'll think like, what externally are they experiencing? Maybe there's a lack of sales. So with people who are turning up, there's a lack of sales, lack of conversion, a lack of engagement on their lives or on their webinars or in their speeches. And so they're like the external things. So for me, when I'm introducing my topic, I'm going to be saying things like, if you're listening on the training today, you might be experiencing some of these challenges. Maybe you're running webinars or you're doing presentations and you're moving to the pitch and you're just not seeing the conversion rates that you want to see. And you're noticing that you're doing all this work, you're coming in and you're giving it all your best, and maybe you're giving too much content away potentially, and you're not seeing the conversions, the results that you want. And internally, you're feeling really frustrated with that. You're feeling like, you know, you're doing all this work, it's not getting the results. And when you really question yourself, like deeper down, there's potentially this fear of, you know, is this speech, is this presentation, this webinar actually good enough to really serve people and make a difference in people's lives? And so that's the conversation I want to have today. And so I just press pause there. And so really what I'm doing is I'm thinking about my audience and I'm using the language that would be going on in their head, probably just like writing an ad. Mm-hmm. I'm using the language of what would be going on in their head in the presentation so that right at the front end, they're like, wow, this person really understands me, not just from a result perspective, but from a identity and internal feeling perspective. And when you get that relevance and that sense of like, this person gets me, that's when people, they start to like you. And then you're going to move to the, you know, the whole like, you know, no like trust, mm-hmm. they'll start to like you. And then with your content, when you actually deliver it and show them how powerful your content is, they start to trust you. And so, yeah, thinking about the relevancy piece right at the front end is really important.
So really getting inside the head of your ideal customer and thinking about what are they thinking right now? What are their problems? What are the challenges? And addressing them right up front.
Correct.
The thing that I was, the vision I had in my head as you were saying that was you want the person who's listening to be nodding their head and saying, yes, that's me. Yes, he gets me or she gets me.
That's exactly right. I'm nodding my head now. And you can even ask rhetorical questions. to get people to do that. So rhetorical questions are, they're a question that isn't a question. Like saying something like at the end of that of, you know, if you're relating to this, isn't it time that this is something that you address? And so you're kind of like, isn't it time? Like, wouldn't you think it would be a good thing to get clear on that if you want to be able to speak to your audience?
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So rhetorical questions are highly persuasive. And so, because you're getting yeses throughout, because, I mean, you've probably heard the old adage of like, you know, you got to create a flurry of yeses to get someone to buy a product, but it's really true. You create yes momentum throughout the presentation. So I'm looking at between 10 to 30 yeses of little rhetorical questions, little questions and decisions throughout the whole presentation, so that by the end, when they get to decide of whether this program or this offer is a right fit for them, then they've got some momentum behind them that would go against the resistance that would normally stop them or limiting beliefs.
Mm. With that in mind, what are some mistakes that you're seeing that you see today that people are making, let's just say when they're webinars? Mm. With what you just said, like framing what you just said, keeping that in mind, what are some mistakes that you see people make?
I think some of the biggest mistakes is too much content. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to teach too much how content. So they, their webinar or their presentation, it gets into all the nitty gritty how content. Now, I know for me, when I attend a conference and I see a speaker and he does lots and lots of how training, I actually start to like zone out. I don't know about you, but like it kind of gets overwhelming and too much, and people don't buy, because for me, my specialty is like helping people to buy. People don't buy in an overwhelmed state, and they don't buy in a confused state. And so the biggest mistake I think that people make, especially when they're speaking or selling on a stage, is that they prove doing too much how content, which is overwhelming the audience. And they're like, man, I've got so much to do before I can even make a decision to join this program because I've already learned so much already. And so for me, I think the opposite of that is viewing the presentation, especially if you're selling on a stage, like a webinar or a live stage, viewing the presentation as the main purpose of it is for you to bring your audience to a point where they can make a congruent decision around whether the vehicle is the right vehicle for them.
How does that, because I'm like, I'm thinking that through. What are some ways, what's the easy, I mean, how do I ask this question? Because it's not necessarily easy, but what are a couple of things that somebody can do in order to do that, to accomplish that?
Yeah. So some different things you can do is you can sit down and ask yourself, what are the resistance points that come up around the vehicle? And so whenever you're selling something, you ask like, what are the, it's like the yeah buts. And so I want to be addressing at least like three yeah buts, like, you know, well, maybe I can't do that because of this. And so that's a big thing that drives my content. So one example, you know, with my content is that, you know, what if I'm not confident enough to speak on a stage? You know, would this really still work for me? And so I will share a story, which I did before, around my journey of learning to speak. And I wasn't always confident. I've had bad experiences. And basically like that you can learn it. And so I need to look at the resistance point and then address it so that they can get over that resistance or that limiting belief and will help them to more clearly decide whether the vehicle is a right vehicle for them.
Mm.
Yeah. And so that's one way. Another really practical way is to actually teach the journey that your customer goes on. And so that process that I mentioned before about the six levels, that's a journey model for me of a journey framework for my audience to go through. And like, so they see a really clear picture of, okay, well, I'm kind of here. This is the area that I'm at, and this is where I'm wanting to go. And so that's really helpful because it's really valuable because it actually helps them to get clarity around the journey they need to go on if they want to master that particular vehicle. And so that's another really practical way, is mapping out the customer journey. And then a third one would be just actually teaching like the big building blocks. So you could say like, you know, there's five big building blocks that you really need to master to be able to be exceptional at this. And so you can kind of teach those five big building blocks, and you don't necessarily go through how to do every single bit of it, mm-hmm. but it's really valuable to people because they're like, they just get perspective of, wow, these are the big areas that I need to master. And then it comes to decision point, which is, you know, if you are actually doing a sharp sell, you're actually selling, then it's like decision, hey, is this something you want to master? If it's not, that's totally fine. But if it is, then this is the journey you actually really need to go on.
Mm. My head is just like loving all this as I'm taking all this in. What haven't we talked about yet that's critical to all this and improving the way that we can leverage our speaking and connecting with our audience so that we can sell more?
Mm. I think it's just giving it a go. Like not trying to get it right. And that really is it's the second level of the journey model for me, which is that trusting your intuition. So I think it's really just great. Yes, you know, all the structures and stuff add the X factor to it. But I just want to encourage people to, you know, get on a live, give it a go, get on a stage if you can and give it a go. Like just give it a go and like don't try to get it right and realize that, you know, like, yeah, that this is a journey. And sometimes getting it wrong, you'll definitely learn a lot. And then when you're actually kind of, you've practiced it a few times, you can get to a point of like, okay, this is an area that I want to really develop. And then you can kind of, you know, find mastery in it. And so I just want to encourage your listeners to just give it a go, at least get to that second level of starting to, you know, give it a go and trust yourself a bit more.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I want to share a quick story that Colin, I don't think actually I've told you about this, but this was Blog World. So Blog World no longer exists. But the first year that I was, this was back in 2013. This is during my 15 months of having no clue what I was doing in my business. And I actually wouldn't even say it was a business. It wasn't a business at that point, but I really wanted to speak. And so this is back when I had the Inside Social Media podcast. And so I had met the guys from Blog World and I told them I really wanted to speak. And so they gave me a slot. They gave me, you know, a small room at Blog World. And I think was it Vegas? Yeah, it was in Vegas. And I put together, I'd never done it before. And man, I've never been more nervous like about doing something. And I remember this, I memorized the entire thing. I memorized every single slide.
Wow.
And I get up there and I was so nervous. And I remember like my wife wasn't like, there was, you know, I was like, it was one of those, like there was like 15 people in the audience plus like 10 more of my friends that came for it to support. And I remember Pat Flynn was in the audience, who I'm really, really good friends with. And I'll never forget, he was just part of that journey. And again, this is what, 6 years ago now. And I just remember just like, it was very robotic because I had memorized the entire thing. So there was like no story. There was no like inflection of voice or anything. And so anyway, you know, I got through it. And I just spoke at Social Media Marketing World, 2 weeks ago here when we're recording this. And I've spoken a lot and I love to speak. It's now one of my most favorite things. I'm like so energized and I really don't get nervous. I get more just like, I just kind of get amped up and stuff like that. And I know that I can be much, much better. And there's different things that I work on when I get up there. But, you know, Pat texted me after I had done that, the Social Media Marketing World presentation. And so for that one, I don't know, maybe 350 people or something in the room. And he texted me later and he's like, dude, I was not at your presentation, but I've heard from a lot of people how great it was. You've come such a long way since that Blog World when you memorized the entire thing.
You're like, thanks, Pat.
Yeah. And so talking about a journey here, I mean, this is 6 years.
Amazing.
And granted, we are talking about, you know, on stage. And as I mentioned earlier, the ironic thing is I get more nervous just getting in front of to do an Instagram story in front of the phone to do that versus getting up on stage at Kajabi in front of 600 people. Like, I love that, you know, and not that I don't love the Instagram story kind of thing, but it's kind of weird. I just get more nervous with that. Now, granted, once I get going, you know, I feel a lot better. And I hear that from a lot of people. I think one of the big areas for improvement that I can do is structuring things the way that you're talking about here. And, you know, I'm very guilty in the past of like, just, you know, like just throwing up on my audience, if you will. And that audience could be, it could be an Instagram story, it could be a webinar, could be at my live events or whatever. It's just like, I just want to help you. Here's all the information, you know?
You give them the all you can eat buffet.
Yeah.
And they walk away about to vomit. Yeah.
Exactly. And their eyes glaze over and they're like, holy cow, what just happened? And so I think that's such a great lesson that you bring up there about like, we often think that the more content, the better, like the more teaching, the better, when oftentimes it's not that way at all, especially for people, you know, who are doing like webinars and launching for the first time, they think they have to. And I have been guilty of this very, very, not very, let's just say very recently. It happens to all of us. We all do it where we think we have to like answer every single question to the best of our abilities. And like, if we don't do this, then someone's not going to, you know, not going to like us or not going to buy from us. And that's actually oftentimes hurting not only your sales, but also our audience, because we're throwing up on our audience. Like I said,
I the best metaphor I think for this is, especially if your audience, like if anyone listening wants to learn to speak in a way that sells, is to think about your presentation as a beautiful decadent meal. And so a decadent meal is well structured, it's well balanced, it's not overwhelming. It's one of those meals where, like, have you done this before where you've gone out to a really nice restaurant and, you know, you spent like $250 for two of you or something, and you leave and you're like, should we go to In-N-Out on the way home? Because I'm still hungry.
Right. Actually, what I thought of when you just said that was, my mind went to my wife and I, whenever we've been in London, we do high tea at one of the really, really nice hotels, right? And you sit down and it's like this 3-hour affair of like, you know, and my wife, it's like one of my wife's favorite things ever.
I can imagine.
Down and do like, but it is, it's like, okay, the tea comes out and then you get, you know, the scones with the jam and the clotted cream. And then, you know, these other things come out and it's a process. And it's a beautiful process. It's like our, you know, not to be all cliche, but it's our journey through that experience.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's say the decadent meal is your kind of sell from stage presentation or your speech. And then the In-N-Out burger, not that this is a perfect example, but it's like, that's your program, right? And so, but what tends to happen is we go to people, hey, we give them the all you can eat. So they stuff their face, they're completely overwhelmed, they're exhausted. And then we go, hey, do you want some In-N-Out after this? And they're like, oh, I was like, I've got too much already.
Yeah.
And so if we do this well, it structures the presentation. So it creates desire for what you have. And then they actually, you know, pull in and actually grab the burger, which is what you're offering at the end.
I love it. I love it. I think that's a good place to wrap this up, man. This has been amazing. I know you've got trainings. I know you've got some downloads and stuff. Where can people connect with you and get more from you?
Yeah, well, we've talked about this idea of like, obviously speaking, and part of it is telling a story. And so for me, mastering and finding your story is fundamental to be able to sell well. And it's to be able to sell without selling. I think when you find your story, and that story that communicates the beliefs that the people need to believe to say yes to your vehicle, that is like crucial for them to move forward. And so I spent some time a little while ago and just literally like mapped out what are the exact steps someone needs to take to find their story, to craft their story and deliver it in a way that is really engaging and actually sells their stuff without selling. And so I created this thing called the Sell With Story Guide. Super proud of it because it's like really helpful.
I know. So, as you're talking about this, I'm like, tell me where to get this because I want this.
It's actually like, it's basically the like a core module out of the bigger program that I run. But I just want to show people like just how powerful, like you could literally just get this and just use that. Like it will up level your webinar. It will up level your next presentation to a whole nother level. Hmm. And so it's at sellwithstoryguide.com. So sellwithstoryguide.com is where you can grab it if you want to grab a copy of it there. So yeah.
Sellwithstoryguide.com. Okay. Awesome.
Yes.
And is there any other place that people can connect with you?
I mean, I love connecting on Instagram. So just Colin Boyd, C-O-L-I-N, just one L-B-O-Y-D. Colin Boyd. So I'd love to connect there. That'd be great.
Awesome. So sellwithstoryguide.com. And then guys, Colin's Instagram is at Colin Boyd, C-O-L-I-N-B-O-Y-D.
B-O-Y-D.
Yeah. Make sure to DM him on Instagram. Let him know that you heard him on the Art of Paid Traffic here. And Colin,
that would be amazing.
Amazing, dude. I've taken like tons of notes here as you've been talking here. You guys probably heard me typing in the background. Dude, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And like I said, this is something that I'm always trying to get better at myself. And hopefully between our conversation and how I set this episode up in the very beginning, people don't think that this is like only for selling on stage. This is anytime you're presenting, and presenting meaning doing a webinar, you are on stage, maybe you're just doing an Instagram story and you want someone to simply DM you, you know, and getting them to take action and connecting and using everything that we've been talking about here today to up-level all those different types of things as we are connecting with our audience. So thank you again, my man. Really appreciate you, buddy.
You're welcome. Had a good conversation. Talk soon.
All right. Such good stuff with Colin today, right? Do me a favor real quick. If you enjoy listening to the Art of Paid Traffic here, take a screenshot of your podcast app on your phone right now. However you're listening to the show right now, take a screenshot and share it in your Instagram stories. And when you do, tag me at Rick Mulready and I'll reply to you with my heartfelt thank you. So no, seriously, I'll reply to you with my big time thanks. I appreciate you very much for sharing and supporting the show here. And thank you for listening to today's episode with Colin. Coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way on Friday. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your online marketing to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of that, of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.